Yeah, what do you want, buddy? Well, we're in town for the census, and my wife's pregnant, looking for a room. Sorry, all filled up. Should have made reservations. Want to look at this morning, drawing strength from the hand of God, the providence of God in everyday circumstances of our lives. I want to ask some questions along the way. Do the mystery and majesty of salvation still capture our hearts? Do we treasure and ponder the things that God has revealed to us? I'm going to begin with this very mundane story. Joseph and Mary, well, they had to go to Bethlehem because Caesar Augustus issued a decree. First this morning, the providence of God in the affairs of men.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child.
Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, I should have told you that's where we're going to be. Lee is going to help me out with my scripture reading this morning. The providence of God in the affairs of men. Pretty routine things here. And what I'd like just to take a perspective of how this maybe is viewed from the throne room in heaven, how it's viewed from the innkeeper's perspective, and how it's viewed from Mary and Joseph. They're kind of the in-between ones. From the throne room in heaven, it's just crystal clear, isn't it? Galatians, what is it? I think it's, hang on a second, I've got it written down. Galatians 4:4 tells us, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman. Ephesians 1:9-10 tells us, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time. Now see, from the throne room in heaven, all this is just crystal clear. It's time. It's time. We had creation and now this next great event, the Messiah. His feet are going to hit the planet. Christ is coming to this earth. And we have the innkeeper. He's just doing his job. Now, we aren't going to go into a lot of background on the inn, because if you've done any study on that, it can be all kinds of things. It could be an inn. It could be a cave that was an inn. All different kinds of designs and the different people, the thoughts that they have as they go back and look at the study that historically. Well, all of that doesn't really matter. What we do know is that there wasn't room, and there was people going back, just like typical things. Like, have you ever gone to the renew your license plates right at the end of the month? Might be a little busy then, because everybody waited till the last minute to go get their license plates renewed. I don't know, that was an Indiana thing. I don't know how much here. But you know what I'm saying. Just something very mundane in our lives. And this was very mundane. The innkeeper, it was just another young couple. Nothing standing out about them. Just carpenter and his new wife. Just had come in. But so we got from the throne room, it's all crystal clear. Just see this amazing plan of God, God and his angels. And another reference, if you want to write it down, 2 Chronicles 18:18 and 2 Chronicles 18:18. And Micaiah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. Can you just picture the scene in heaven as Mary's, I mean, just not just right now, but just this whole thing, the Holy Spirit, You think the angels might have just a little interest in this? Well, we don't have to guess that, do we? Because another reference you could write down if you'd like. 1 Peter 1, 10 to 12. Now I'm just going to take two phrases from those 10, 11, 12, three verses. Concerning this salvation, things into which angels long to look. Now we have another Peter reference, and I didn't write that one down, but it talked about the things that the Old Testament prophets, how they yearned to see this, that this was coming, the birth of the Christ child. They spoke of it. Some of them spoke of it. It was very cryptic because they didn't even completely, they just knew a Messiah was coming. They just knew hope was coming. And then some of them had even more revelation that they shared as prophecy. And then I believe some of them had things that they shared that they just didn't know it was prophecy, but it was. And we know that because it's referred to in the New Testament. Those texts are brought out to us. But see, we have the innkeeper, we have the in heaven, and we have just the all gathered around the throne. And you see anticipation, the angels longing to look into this. But then the third perspective, Mary and Joseph. Well, how's their perspective? We know how their perspective's different from the throne room, don't we? Because they don't see all that. They don't see the grand, the glory, and they don't see all the God on his throne and all these things. But they don't have the perspective of the innkeeper. They don't have the perspective of the innkeeper, do they? Secondly, this morning, the mystery of God in the lives of his chosen ones.
And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Yeah, buddy, what do you want? I already told you there wasn't room in the inn. Well, sir, my wife, she's pregnant. Yeah, I know, we covered that. There's no room. I'm sorry, I don't want to be rude. There's just no room in the inn. Well, sir, but she's pregnant with the Son of God. Well, yeah, nice try. See you later. See, the perspective that Mary and Joseph had, just picture, they couldn't say that, could they? I mean, I don't think they would have tried that. It's like, yeah, who's y'all, right? They'll surely give us a room if we let them know that I'm carrying the, you know, I haven't had relations with the man. It is a virgin birth, and God spoke to me, and his Holy Spirit visited me, and now I'm pregnant by God. That'd fly with that innkeeper, wouldn't it? He'd say, well, sure, we'll give you the guest suite. I mean, we got some people we can move out. I mean, you know, the Son of God. No, it was just the mundane, the ordinary. Just like God calls us to do. You know who lives in us? Well, the Holy Spirit lives in us. But it tells us that Christ lives in us. Christ lives in us. Now, this is a lot different than being pregnant with the Son of God. I'll grant you that. But there's some similarities too, aren't they? Aren't there? We have that reality, the mystery of what God has done. And he takes these common lives and he just weaves us through, and we'll have opportunities at times to share the majesty of his good news. In fact, at times his majesty will break through to us. Thirdly, this morning, the majesty of God in the good news of salvation. And right before Lee reads this, let's just try to draw our mind away. We've heard the story ever since, probably most of us, ever since we can remember. But let's try to get a good picture. These guys, and the shepherds weren't always looked at in real high esteem. They're out there doing their job, and it could be a very difficult job. And they could maybe, you know, they could maybe be having a really difficult night. And all of a sudden, and Dean, you're right, I can't find anywhere where the angel sang. Now, he mentioned that to me, and I did some checking. Maybe they sang. We know they said, we know they proclaimed, and we know that in proclamation, we know there's a lot of singing going in heaven, and there's a lot of singing that goes with worship and praise, but we don't really know that they broke out with angels we have heard on high. during this. That's just a little aside, and hopefully I didn't distract us, but the majesty of God and the good news of salvation.
And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
Okay, now the throne room just broke through the mundane, didn't it? It's just like a warp between, just ripped open between heaven and earth. And first an angel came and spoke, and it just petrified them. And then this, what does it say? Let me get the angel, with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, the majesty of God in the good news of salvation. And we want to remember that. You know, we go out in our neighborhood, we share with our family, we have people sharing every week in jail, we have people sharing every week in the nursing homes. We have, our reason for being here. And we can't forget that, the majesty of the good news. We can't forget that perspective. We have, in our lives, we have always going on is the throne room in heaven, isn't it? That's always going on in the heavenly host, on God's right hand and on God's left hand. And it's interesting because this little baby, he's going to be their majesty on high one of these days. And we always have that perspective going on. We always have the perspective that we can go across the street and knock on a door and, well, it's Christmas and it's kind of nice, and that's kind of nice to have those thoughts and be, you know, treat people a little better this time of year and you know, have some sentimental things. But kind of like the innkeeper, you know, not, you know, really opposed, but just, well, it's just, you know, it's just the mundane, the reality of this world. And then we got us going around. And we got just both perspectives there. We're in this world. We've got the everyday things going on. But we can't forget who lives in us. We can't forget the majesty of this message. You know, there's one in "What Child Is This?" And I was singing it, singing it at the nursing home. And just picture, I don't know, maybe, you know, you guys know, we get older, we get a little more sentimental on some things, but verse 3, "So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him." The King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise the song on high, and then here's the line I'm getting to. The virgin sings her lullaby. Can you imagine Mary sitting there with that little baby on her lap? Flesh and blood. Hell, what was the other song? The Godhead veiled in flesh. And yet, it's her little boy. It's her little boy. This perspective that she had. Fourthly this morning, the treasure of God for those who believe.
When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
The treasure of God for those believe, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. She would have these magnificent events. I think I read angel spoke to Joseph three times. The angel spoke to Mary. The Holy Spirit came. What's this one man here? Let me, Ray Pritchard on his Keep Believing website. He talks about the Bible makes some rather astounding claims relating to Christmas. An angel visited a virgin who became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. The baby in her womb was the Son of God from heaven. God caused a heathen emperor to call for a taxation that sent Mary and Joseph back to Bethlehem at the very moment Jesus was born. Prophets foretold both the virgin birth and his birth in Bethlehem hundreds of years before it happened. A star led the Magi from the east directly to the house in Bethlehem where Jesus was. Angels spoke to shepherds. An angel spoke to Joseph on three different occasions. An angel spoke to the Magi, warning them not to return to Herod. Even the slaughter of the infant boys of Bethlehem fulfilled ancient prophecy, and when aged Simeon held baby Jesus in his arms, he prophesied of his death on the cross. The treasure of God for those believe. And we talk about the true meaning of Christmas, and that's what we need to go know in our daily lives, the things that happen, the obstacles that come before us. God really does know all these things, doesn't he? When we can just really understand that God really does know all of these things, God does care, and we see his hand providentially working. Now, what people sometimes do with the providence of God, it's kind of like, you know, we can get caught up in wanting everything to be a miracle. And I'm not saying we do that. We don't do that here. We were in a church that did that. Every time God's hand moved, everything was a miracle. Well, everything's not a miracle. It's like a basketball game. And they'll say, talk about the miraculous finish where a team came from 13 points down in the last minute and won the basketball game. That's not a miracle. You know what's a miracle? If there's 1 second left and they're down by 52 points and they win. No, I'm serious. So you follow what I'm saying, don't you? We got to make the example. That's a miracle. It's not a miracle all of a sudden the defense gets real good and you take the ball away. Somebody gets hot and you start popping three-pointers. And you were down 13 and there's 55 seconds left and you pull the game out. That's not a miracle. God does miracles. But God works providentially in our lives. Just the ordinary stuff. We're going to be coming up and looking at Love God, Love Your Neighbor series. Next week is forgiveness. We can't hear too much about forgiveness. That's what we should be about. And then the Sundays in January, Love God, Love Your Neighbor. And that's ground floor, grassroots. That's why it's like you're loving God and we're in his providential care, the everyday stuff. And we're ready for God to move in the everyday stuff because we're loving God, loving our neighbor. I'd like to finish this morning if you'd turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I know we got different translations, but we're going to give it a good go. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, because thinking of the majesty and the glory and the wonder and the splendor and the things, the treasure that we have to ponder in our hearts and to see the names, because this is the names. And this isn't all the names of God here. It's just speaking of this child. Knocking on the door to the inn. Innkeeper didn't realize it. No one else did. Now the Magi, they might not have come there, but they did come and visit. The shepherds knew, but the minority, they didn't know. But it was like this Isaiah 9, 6. Isaiah speaking this probably 600 years before, maybe over 600 years before. Here's Mary. She's got that baby in her belly as they're coming up. God's providence, though, because it said that baby was going to be born in Bethlehem. If you'd read this with me. And when we get to these names, let's just treasure this and really put a little meaning into that. So Isaiah 9, verse 6, reading with me. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Dear Heavenly Father, what a gift you did bring to us in this holiday we celebrate as Christmas. What a gift, Lord, the salvation of mankind. It's easy to forget, Lord. It's easy to be caught up in the mundane and to not remember, Lord, that you're still working. And help us to not do that. Help us to allow the majesty, the splendor, and the wonder to be very active in our lives. And that's when we're following you in obedience, Lord, and we're bowing before you and we're humbling ourselves before you. And we meet you. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.